Hello, this is Zeiger. For a while now, I've been thinking about doing a series of talks for the simple reason that while writing articles is nice and all, a lot of people just don't read. They prefer to listen to things. So I'm going to be recording some things on various subjects, and I'll use SoundCloud, which allows you to download them easily or listen to them on your phone. We'll see how this goes. The first talk I want to do is on the subject of white nationalism. And some people may wonder why I want to talk about this, because really, it doesn't seem to be immediately relevant to fascism. And indeed, just a few decades ago, there would be no reason to talk about this, because our movement, our websites, are international in scope, and fascism is international in scope, and there would be no reason to address something that is more or less specifically American in nature. But things have changed. The internet culture is influencing the whole world now, and it's also influencing the right-wing or nationalist movements in various countries as well. We're starting to kind of shape a common culture because of the internet. And the fact is that Americans have a very strong influence on this culture because the internet is mostly English and Americans produce the most English content, and they're often at the avant-garde of all movements on the internet, and they've got lots of members, lots of neats making memes all day, so they definitely have a strong influence. And the most predominant movement in America is called white nationalism. Now, this may not seem relevant if you think that white nationalism is just, you know, the American flavor of fascism. But the fact is that it's not. It's a problem because superficially it seems quite in line with all of our ideas. For example, they want to remove all the non-whites from their countries. They want to restore, you know, the dignity and the greatness of their nations. They're wise, for the most part, on the Jewish question. And this seems to be the same thing that we're advocating. But those things are superficial things. They're things that, you know, maybe a few hundred years ago or just 100 years ago, many liberals would have agreed with. So they're not fundamental to our worldview. When you dig down underneath those things, there's some big differences. And confusing those with what we stand for is dangerous. So, first, I'm going to talk a little bit about the history of the concept and the movement of white nationalism. And then we'll move on to the problems I have with it. So, where does white nationalism come from? Initially, it was kind of it really started as the internet movement, the various internet sites and the movements that coalesced around Stormfront in America. Stormfront was, you know, the first kind of racialist or very hard right-wing forum on the internet. And in America, it became very popular. And originally, the only people who would frequent this were, you know, fascists and people who were part of the previously existing fascist movements in America, like William Pierce's National Alliance, James Mason's Universal Order, and, you know, the various descendants of the American Nazi Party. And probably like these kind of weird earlier American movements like the KKK and things like that. But even back then, it was already kind of non-existent. But anyway, all of those movements kind of merged together and formed the original Stormfront. But it became very popular. And as the membership grew, it basically became the meeting place for all the racialists and all the racists in America, and was no longer really a fascist or national socialist forum or community. Now, they've got kind of a distinct ideology, and they have very little in common with the early American fascist pioneers like the above mentioned William Pierce and George Lincoln Rockwell. But the problem is that this ideology is not clearly defined. So there is a lot of confusion about what is or isn't white nationalism. And to make matters worse, there are some, you know, genuine fascists who don't mind describing themselves as white nationalists. So I'm going to, before I start to get into the criticisms, I want to make it clear that what I'm criticizing is the core of the movement, the general tendencies that I tend to witness, and not like every last person in the world who calls themselves white nationalists. Because there's just, it's become such a broad label now. The first of these problems is the softness of the movement. In spite of how the media portrays them, white nationalism as a whole is a pretty soft movement. And this is illustrated by the victim mentality that they display in their memes, like the white genocide thing. And this is really cringe-inducing. The white genocide is this whole idea that if you complain and whine about the damage that Jews and, you know, the powers that be are doing to us, then it'll make things better and it'll make people attracted to our movement, or to the white nationalist movement, rather. This is obviously false, and it's a symptom of like a fundamental moral weakness. We don't need whiners to take down the system, and their propaganda was only going to attract whiners, so that really needs to go. But the weakness goes down like deeper. If you look at sites like Stormfront and the blogs of people in that ilk, you'll see that they're actually, for the most part, pro-feminists. Or at least they're going to complain when anti-feminist arguments are brought forwards. You can see this clearly in the Stormfront dating section, which is a real shitstorm of nonsense and like beta male cuckoldry. These people are giving the most cringe-inducing dating advice. And it's really an all-around embarrassment. Anyone can go and look, and you know, you'll see the proof of that. So they're pro-feminist. Many of them are actually still pro-government, pro-system, and obviously anti-revolutionary. They think that if they just vote for the right people, or, you know, if they just put the right people in Congress or whatever, things are going to be all right. This is really a far cry from the Turner Diaries of William Pierce and the type of attitude that we had back in the 80s. So again, more weakness. Another symptom of the weakness is the total lack of standards and expectations. Go on Stormfront and you'll see that they tolerate the worst autism and the most degenerate lifestyles, and they just don't worry about it, because they're promoting a kind of weird racial communism in which even the worst white is still part of the gang, and that's just not acceptable. If these people want to actually change the system or make the situation better, it's only going to be done by the best of the best of their society. So tolerating, you know, degenerate elements or mentally ill people shows a real softness and weakness that's not acceptable and has nothing to do with the type of attitude that we have. The second problem is that it's very ill-defined ideology. About the only thing that they have in common is that they don't like blacks. And that's just not enough. You need more clarity than that. They might make references to our leaders, like William Pierce and George Lincoln Rockwell, but they don't do anything to adopt their comprehensive worldview. They don't go deeper than that. The various tendencies of the movement, like the biological racialists, the libertarians, even the pro-democracy or republicans and conservatives, these people are not coalescing into a single coherent movement. They're not whittling down their views until one worldview remains. And the result of that is that they're not going to be able to spring into action or know to support a good common leader, even if he'd show up. Because when there's no clear principles and no clear objectives, you can't know a good leader when you see one, and you can't motivate people to spring into action, because what are they going to do? The third problem is that they have a very, very insufficient understanding of the problem. In other words, the objectives that they do have are grossly insufficient. The idea that, just kicking out blacks and Jews would solve all of their problems does not address the root cause of the problems that they complain about. If they think that the degeneracy in their society, the decay, would be addressed just by kicking out problem elements, I mean, non-white problem elements, then it shows that they're not ready to implement real solutions, because they don't understand the problem, and they don't understand what solutions would be necessary. They believe that all whites are equal. They may not say that, but they believe it ultimately, and they behave as though it was true, because many of them support things like libertarianism or democracy and republican forms of government. And I've already discussed libertarianism and the problems that they have and why it's not compatible with the fascist worldview. But I'll just note that we don't believe in any form of equality, whether it's amongst whites or amongst, between the races. So the idea that we can have a successful government and a bright future by all being equal and being free and doing whatever you want is a ridiculous notion. And we're not going to talk any more about that. But it just goes to show that their worldview is limited, and it's grossly insufficient in terms of the solutions that they would implement. And this is a big problem, because if somehow these people manage to throw a revolution or overthrow the system, because of their insufficient understanding, the replacement that they would put instead would just make things worse. Because now, with the additional comforts and safety that they have by removing all the, the blacks and the Muslims and whatever, their situation would be so comfortable and so nice that all the other problems would get much worse very quickly, and it would spell, their own destruction. Final couple of notes. One thing that I'm not going to elaborate too much on, but because it was already addressed previously by many people, and many people complain about this, is that a lot of white nationalists will tend to export their idea of whiteness to Europe and other European groups, because to them it makes sense. Whites in America are all one ethnic group, regardless of their national origins. So they easily believe that the same thing could be true all over the world. They think that a Swede, a Frenchman, an Englishman, whatever, they could all easily just become one nation if they learn to compromise and stop arguing with their petty nationalism or whatever they say. And of course, this is completely ignorant, and it's obvious that no European would scrap their thousands of years of history just for some perceived benefit in terms of material things. It's just not going to happen, and it's ridiculous. But this is something that they promote, and it just makes them seem foolish to Europeans. So they need to stop talking about this nonsense. More ultimately, I think when you get down to it, white nationalism is just a form of liberalism with racialism added to it. In other words, white nationalism, the white nationalists, they're just liberals who don't like niggers. That's what it comes down to. And they're obviously going to disagree with that. But look at the evidence. Look at what their actual attitudes are on all the issues. You can't get a clear condemnation of feminism out of them. They believe in the equality between the sexes. You'll get some support for democracy or republican forms of government. They believe in freedom. They believe in capitalism. They can't get a strong, clear stance on degeneracy. All of these are liberal points of view. And ultimately, that's what they are. They're Yank conservatives, which ultimately is a form of liberalism. We can't let ourselves be confused by the similarities in form and ignore the deep differences in underlying function. White nationalism is not fascism, even though it may seem similar on the surface. And we can't confuse one for the other. Thank you for listening. Zeiger signing out.